Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter and selected verses from that chapter. These words should be familiar words, so try to hear them again as if you're hearing for the first time. How do these words intersect your life at this point on your faith journey? Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me.' Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me.' Then Jesus said, 'There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands."' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Being lost seems to be a human predicament. Every single one of us knows the feeling. It's brutal. In fact, being lost is such a soul-searing experience that once you've had the experience, you can never, ever forget it. Never. It's always lurking there, just below the surface, you know, ready to break forth and assume control of your life. At the early service today, had the kids up front. We were talking about being lost. And like the kids did at this service, they said, it was at the museum, I was doing this, and it became lost. And then one of the parents of a small child who was up front with this kid said, raised his hand and said, I remember when I was a small child at the boardwalk. You know, it was like 40 years ago. He said, I remember getting lost for hours and searching for my parents. I mean, it was, he remembered it. It was that long ago, but there was no way to forget it. So what I want you to do, I want you to draw to mind that feeling in your gut, the feeling of being lost. Okay. 2,000 years ago, Jesus counted on the fact that those gathered around him could do the same. They could draw on that feeling. They knew that feeling. They could generate the heart-stopping feeling of being lost. He said, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? At that point in time, you know, in that culture, sheep were extremely valuable, and many of those gathered around Jesus would have appreciated that story. They could have related to that story. But not everyone. So Jesus follows it up with another take on it. He said, okay, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Most of those gathered probably were people of limited means, and they can imagine losing something of such value that they would have to search for it. But not everyone. And so Jesus pushed it a bit further, and he said this. There was a man who had two sons, and one was lost. Bingo. He had them. That got him. That got him right there. They knew that feeling. They knew the absolute, in the pit of the stomach, what do I do now, feeling of losing an irreplaceable relationship. The parable of the prodigal son, as it's called usually, is probably the best known of all Jesus' parables, rivaled by possibly the parable of the Good Samaritan, in that most people know this story. Even if they've never stepped foot in a church, they know this story. And they know it because its message transcends time and space and culture and creed. There's just something universal about being lost or about losing something of great value. Everyone can relate to it. In fact, that observation about this story has led some folks across the years just to rename this. Instead of the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the lost son. I like that better anyway. Okay. You know, there are a lot of things that tend to irk me in my life, a lot of small things that tend to irk me. And I listed just a few of them at the earlier services. It didn't seem to irk anybody else, but so I don't know if I should even share it. But there's one thing, the little salad dressing tops that you have to, the little flip thing, and you have to pull it off, and they always break off. Well, that irks me. Okay. The other thing that irks me are pedestrians. that are walking the wrong way. As I'm driving, their backs to me, and if I hit them, it's going to be my fault. I mean, because they're not... Anyway, that irks me. Okay, internet ads irk me. I want to watch a video, and inevitably, there's some 30-minute thing comes on about something. Anyway, all those things irk me in my day-to-day existence. But there's something else that irks me about church. Well, a lot of things about church. Not about any of you, though. Not about that. And the idea that irks me is espoused by some is that the church is a place where you go to prove to others that you have it all together. You know, that you have your life together. The idea that church is an homogenous collection of pious folks who think they have it all figured out. You know, that idea irks me when people have that because it keeps people out of here. I don't want to be part of that group. You know. It irks me because that's not the way it is. And it's not what the church is all about. I say it over and over and over again. We're not here because we have it all together. If you have it all together, you're in the wrong place. No, we'll let you stay. Okay. We're not here because we have any more answers than anybody else. You know, we're not here because God belongs to us. You know, we're here because we're broken on some fundamental level. We're here because we know that life is hard, and I would think everyone has the scars to prove that life is hard. and we'd rather not go it alone. That's why we're here. In other words, in our own unique ways, we are lost. We know it, and together we're trying to create a community of hope. You know, a community of grace, a community of mercy in the midst of our lostness. Jesus' opponents were threatened by that sort of thinking, by that kind of realignment of social and religious orders. And they called him on it. You know, it wasn't the way they thought it should be set up. They said, this fella welcomes sinners. But not only that, he eats with them. I mean, you couldn't say something much worse about somebody. And not only are they rotten people, but he's eating, breaking bread with them, welcoming them. Now, Jesus didn't try to argue with them, didn't try to make his case. He just said this. Well, let me tell you a story. Which one of you? You know, there was a man who had two sons, and one was lost. I love the Paul Nixon quote from his book, Fling Open the Doors. I had it written down at one time, I think, on my door at the office, but it said, for the church to make a real difference in the life of a community, it must truly believe that it has something to offer that the world cannot live without. You know, today we're celebrating Promotion Sunday. We're highlighting Christian education in the church here at Pleasant Grove. To me, the point of Christian education, the point of Sunday school, is not for our kids to memorize, you know, data, to memorize Bible trivia. You know, that's not it. The point is to tell them a story of a community that is grounded in the life and ministry of the one who called the broken and the lost and called them to join him at the table. No questions asked. Now, whether we like it or not, many, maybe most, maybe all of our youth will wander away from the church at some point in their life. Maybe every one of us wandered away from the church at some point in our life. But it's my belief and my hope that if we tell the story well, if we love them in all their mess, if we listen to them, the hope is that maybe one day, maybe at a point in their lives where they feel the most lost, they will wander back in. They'll wander back in because they will remember that in this place, they were loved in spite of themselves. You know, friends, that's what we have to offer the world that it just cannot live without. A welcome. Friends, being lost is an indelible memory that should drive us, should motivate us at Pleasant Grove to be the community we believe we're called to be, the body of Christ in the world. Because, you know, the only thing that matches that soul-crushing feeling of being lost is the soul-saving feeling of what? Being found. You know, it doesn't get much better than that. So we know the feeling of being lost. Now you need to kind of conjure up the feeling of being found. You remember that moment when mom came around the corner or dad came around the corner, whoever it was came around the corner, and immediately isolation gave way to reunion. Despair gave way to hope. One of our friends shared with us some wisdom that was given to her by her daughter, Lindsay. Now, Lindsay has Down syndrome, and the mother said this. She said, I always thought it was a well-known rule that shells collected on our beach are supposed to be whole. You know, they're supposed to be unbroken shells. You know, one must dedicate time and perseverance to hunt for the perfect shell. They're the only acceptable shells that you can take home. But Lindsay, she said, collects broken ones. Only broken ones. If they're not broken, she doesn't want them. And when they told that to us, it was like, something happened to me. I just figured it all out. All of a sudden, you know, that's it. That's why we gather here. You know, to celebrate that fact. We gather not because we're whole. Because if you think you're whole, you're deluding yourself. We gather because we're broken. And even in our broken state, we are sought out. I mean, the parable of the lost son is descriptive of our lives and descriptive of the generosity of God and the hospitality of the body of Christ. While he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. That's before the kid says anything. And as a community of brokenness, we offer the unapologetic punchline through the living out of our lives of faith. And the punchline is this: we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of ours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. It's called grace. Jesus said, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. He said, the kingdom of God's not coming. Well, you can say, oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. No. And then he leaned into his friends and he whispered these words. He says, for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. You know, or better yet, maybe he should have said, there was a man who had two sons. Next week, a new chapter begins. New opportunities for this community to reach out to the broken and to the lost. I hope you'll be here and you'll be part of the writing of this chapter. Thanks be to God. Amen.